The cost and availability of petrol across the country remains front of mind after millions of Australians travelled over the Easter long weekend. In a press conference this morning, Energy Minister Chris Bowen says he's confident fuel supply has been secured until May.
So we have 39 days worth of petrol, that's 1.7 billion litres, 30 days worth of jet fuel, that's 847 million litres, and 29 days worth of diesel, that's 2.6 billion litres.
But the impact of the sudden increase in fuel prices has already hit the most vulnerable in the community. Australians living in poverty prior to the conflict in Iran are being squeezed even further. The Wire spoke with Julie Fry, the coordinator for the Bathurst Uniting Support Services, about the impact of increasing cost of living pressures on already disadvantaged people.
So Bathurst Uniting Support Services, we just call it BUS, is a project where we focus on those with addictions and or homelessness. That means that we're very often dealing with some of the people who are most disadvantaged in our society. What we find is that people with addictions, the opposite to addiction is not necessarily sobriety, it's more about connection, having a feeling of being part of community, a place where they can go safely and meet other people who may or may not be in recovery, but the support for people to stay in recovery comes from being part of that community. The people that we are mainly dealing with are absolutely struggling. Sometimes it is a result of their lifestyle and what they're trying to do, but very often it's just that they start from a place of incredible disadvantage and more often than not, incredible trauma. And so just making ends meet becomes a huge problem. For example, we were contacted the other day because someone just didn't have enough money to buy medicines that they needed. Any medicine that's not on the PBS and is not $7.70 then becomes quite difficult. If people have got to find $30, $40, $80, that becomes almost insurmountable to find that for medicines. We are constantly giving away food. The phone often rings to say, I've got no food and I've got two children and I can't feed them. And that's a heartbreaking situation.
Are you seeing people that were involved in the programs having to pull back because they just can't get into town to engage?
Absolutely. There's always an issue. I mean, Bathurst is big enough that you cannot walk from one end to the other in a reasonable time. So we have people who say, I haven't got the $2 for the bus, and maybe the bus only comes twice a day, or maybe they're in housing in an area that doesn't have a bus at all. Definitely issues with public transport around town, and taxis are just not even in the equation for that.
Do you see that there are a lot of people that are close to falling into poverty? What does it feel like? What does it look like?
It is really obvious to us that lots of people are either homeless or in insecure housing. If something happens and they miss a couple of weeks of rent, they're at great risk of being homeless. That insecure level, or people who are couch surfing or camping rough or in motel rooms, that number continues to grow from our sort of perspective for the people that we're dealing with. It continues to grow. For people to be living on the edge of homelessness all the time is a really tough space to be. People need security and they need somewhere where they know they are safe and it's their place. That's an absolutely fundamental that all human beings need. And as the cost of living increases and it makes it harder and harder, we see more and more people who just don't have that level of security.
Kristen O'Connell, a spokesperson for the Anti-Poverty Centre, says low-income households across the country are facing these impossible choices.
Those of us on Centrelink payments and other people on low incomes were already quite a large amount of despair before this crisis hit. I think that people are quite desperate for the government to show some leadership and some spine and to step up, provide support in the way that the government showed that it could do that in 2020 in response to the COVID crisis.
What are the stories that you're hearing, and what is this a symptom of?
I mean, this is the thing. The challenges people are faced with means things like choosing whether you access a support service that you actually want and need to access versus using that fuel money to go and do forced unpaid labour and work for the dole, or go to a 2-minute appointment with a welfare compliance officer who has the power to cut you off and will do so ruthlessly. People are choosing between that and support services. They're choosing between that and getting the groceries. They're choosing between that and dropping the kids off from school. Or they're just going to have to fall behind in rent or make cuts elsewhere that they really can't manage. Before this crisis hit, we were already seeing huge increases in energy costs, and we've now seen huge increases in energy debt, was the news out yesterday. So people are reporting to us that they're not getting any flexibility from these welfare compliance officers, that they are still being forced to do these activities at a time when the government is encouraging everyone not to use fuel that they don't need to. They are not allowing welfare recipients to make those choices for themselves and choose whether to do these activities if they find them helpful. We also know that the government's plan here is, it's farcical really. Instead of stepping in, increasing Centrelink payments so that we can actually afford to live and taking the pressure off people by removing compulsory activities, they are giving money out to Food Bank and OzHarvest, organisations that are very exploitative, that provide bad quality food that's out of date or rotting, and push the problem of managing food waste onto poor people who are just trying to eat. So this is the kind of concern we have. People are unable to access the services they really need. They're being forced to go to activities that are harmful and being given the option to try and handle all these cost pressures of being more reliant on damaging services.